Thanks, Emma. That was really good to hear. And good afternoon, everybody. It is, just to echo Emma's comments, it is very exciting to be here. I'd like to thank CEDA and also Microsoft for the opportunity to participate. And if I can just get my security blanket to work. Okay, it's not going to. Just a little background about me. I work for ACAN, which is the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network. And ACAN's the consumer representative voice or body in the telecommunications sector. And we strive to ensure that all Australian consumers, both individual and also small business, have affordable, accessible and available telecommunications and internet products and services. And we also do a little work in converged media, and included in that is broadcast media, in which we do some work with supporting Emma and BCA in the work that they do advocating for audio description across Australian television. And disturbingly, Australia's the only OECD country that doesn't have, English-speaking country, that doesn't have audio description. So if you, and for those of you who don't know what audio description is, it's a narrative, a verbal narrative that explains what's happening on the screen, television and film, and also of performances. So if you find in the next 5 weeks that you have the air of a politician, I would ask that you please impress upon them the importance that all Australians have access to what is still primarily our foremost medium for news and entertainment. Just going back to the topic of the day, ACAN, we're still trying to work out what our place is in the AI space. We know that we need to be here, but we're not sure what it is that we're going to be able to do. But in the meantime, when we're trying to work that out, we've certainly dived in at the deep end. We've been participating on the Australian Human Rights and Technology Project. We've worked with them also in the commissions and the World Economic Forum's work around leadership and governance of AI in Australia. We sit on the Standards Australia AI Working Committee. We've supporting an RMIT Australian Research Council proposal for an AI Centre of Excellence. Yesterday I was at one of Microsoft's ethical AI workshops. And of course we'll be submitting to the Department of Industry, Innovation and Services release of their recent discussion paper on AI in Australia. So as Paula said, you know, this is a really exciting, a really important issue. And as I said, it's very exciting to be able to be here and be part of the conversation. You know, and what we're trying to achieve, I guess, the overall arch of what we're all trying to achieve is to make sure that we benefit from all of the social and the economic benefits of AI while ensuring that the rights and the autonomy of us as citizens and as humanity are not infringed or impinged upon in that process. And what I wanted to talk about today, was asked to talk about, is around the policy and the regulatory framework of, around AI, and which not quite as exciting as talking about the actual applications, but very, very important in where we go with AI into the future. And, you know, I'd just like to step back a little just to talk about the terminology. You know, ethical AI is very much the phrase, the terminology that we're using. But, you know, when I hear ethical AI, the first question that comes to my mind is, whose ethics? Mine? Yours? You know, are the decision makers' ethics and values the same as mine? Are my interests and values going to be protected? And I think, you know, if we think of it in a global context, it becomes even more apparent that that ethics is possibly not the framework that we need to be looking at. We should be looking at a human rights framework around this. You know, the human rights, international human rights instruments have been widely adopted, internationally harmonized, they've been codified, and whilst there are still issues around implementation in different jurisdictions, they're fairly well normalized across the world. Whereas, you know, Australia's community, community values have been, you know, may not well be the same ones as other jurisdictions. And so then we get into questions and issues around that. So going on, the regulatory framework, you know, when we talk about regulating AI, what is it that we're talking about? Is it the data that we're regulating? Is it the algorithms that we need to regulate? Is it the applications that we need to regulate? Or is it all of these things? And each one of those, parts of the AI chain create all different a different range of questions and problems around regulation. In Australia, we have a number of protections and regulatory frameworks around our around data. You know, we've been since 1988. We've had a data framework, data protection framework. Served us well up until now, but some might argue that it needs to be stronger. But in the context of AI, are those frameworks that we have, are they fit for purpose and into the future? You know, we talk about protecting privacy, sharing of data, the de-identification of data. We have all of those protections. But what happens when we start looking at the biometric data that's being collected? Face recognition and affect recognition and issues around those, that use of data. A range of really complex questions and problems arise. Additionally, with the algorithms, you know, how are we going to regulate algorithms? You know, if that's the answer to making sure that bias is not embedded, you know, we need transparency of those algorithms, but there's so many issues around that, about intellectual property, proprietary nature of the algorithm, the black box syndrome, range of questions that are asked about how do we regulate and ensure that the bias is not embedded in the algorithms. And then there's the application of AI. There's a whole context, a range of different ways that AI can be implemented. I was talking with David Masters before we started. You know, the framework, the regulatory framework and the principles that we use around defense and military applications of AI need to be very, very different from the frameworks that we expect from Netflix when they recommend, you know, that you'll like this new TV show because you watched, you know, these other three ones that were like it last week. You know, it's a very different set of policies and regulations that need to be put into place there. And I think that's where the difficulty with the ethics comes in. You know, we have, I think in those contexts, that's where the ethics really do come in. You know, the ethics of automated vehicles. You know, if there's going to be an accident or you know, who decides whether it's the occupants of the car or the pedestrians that are harmed? You know, who decides if it's a child's life that's spared over an older person? Who decides if it's a person of color that gets harmed as opposed to somebody who's, you know, a Caucasian person? So these are some of the really complex issues that we're facing in this area of, you know, how to regulate and how to ensure that AI provides the benefits while it's also protecting all of our rights. And I guess to finish on a good news story, all of those committees and all of those work groups, workshops that I've been participating in have a really diverse range of people that are participating. Some really, really smart people. You know, there's academics, policy makers, people from government, civil society, industry, And the common theme that they all end up is, at the end of the discussion, is that AI should not cause harm. And that's the fundamental, I guess the common ground that we always end up with is that AI should not cause harm. And so, you know, I think there's still plenty to be done. There's plenty to be discussed, and there's plenty of complex problems. But I think, as Emma identified, there are huge possibilities in multiple contexts where AI can really help everybody. But we need to make sure that nobody gets left behind, nobody gets discriminated or harmed because of our inadvertent regulatory or policy oversight. So I'll leave it there. Thank you. I'd like to introduce Kirsten.